Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about seven ways to turn nothing into something.
Hallelujah.
I just love the title. Number one, let nothing stand in your way. Keep you from doing what is right. In other words, never let the opinions of others keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Never let the crowd or peer pressure keep you from doing what you know is the right thing to do. When your cause is just, when your instructions are biblically based, let nothing or no one keep you from doing what you know to be true.
In Numbers 22, verse 16, it says, "And they came to Balaam, and he said to them, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me." I've known people who failed to do the right thing for fear of what others might think.
Yes, we do.
To know to do right and to do wrong is sin, according to the Bible. We didn't make it up, right?
Nope, we did not.
Because in James 4:17 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "So any person who knows what is right to do, but does not do it, to him it is sin."
Wow.
That's it.
Personally, we're more concerned about what Jesus is going to think on Judgment Day. Right, baby?
That's it.
Than what anybody else thinks.
That's the way I like to think. Number two. Never try to hide anything from the Lord, because obviously you can't. That's almost a joke. You know that? In Psalm 94, verse 11 in the New Living Translation, it says, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vain, empty, futile, only a breath." You may be able to hide some things from your spouse and your children, your parents, even your pastor, your boss, your best friend, but you can hide nothing from God. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 18 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "And Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." When we're honest with the Lord, hiding nothing, just opening ourselves to him, doing our best to obey the things that he's asked us to do, then we can count on it, him being with us in everything we do.
Hallelujah.
And as it says in 1 Samuel 3, verse 19, this in the Living Bible, it says, "As Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and people listened carefully to his advice."
Wow. Number three, you want to have a reputation as a straight shooter, speaking nothing but the truth. President Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar."
That's a good quote.
Our reputation and credibility are established by whether or not we tell the truth, even when it's not convenient.
That's the test. In 2 Chronicles 9, verse 2, it says, "And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not." Now,
you know, honey, I'm thinking about a friend that we have.
Yeah?
Brilliant man. Mm-hmm. Anointed. But, I just never knew when he was telling me the truth. On more than one occasion, he has embellished the truth. Well, let's call it what it is. He lied.
I'm not fond of liars.
And really, for no purpose at all, other than just see how people would react to what he said.
In 1 Timothy 1:10, maybe everybody needs to know this for sure. 1 Timothy 1:10, it says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." But let me read it, honey, from the New Living Translation.
Oh, this is good.
Because this kind of opens it up. 1 Timothy 1:10, look at where liars are. What liars, the kind of people they're put in the word that associated with.
I know.
That's scary. says the law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything that contradicts the wholesome teaching.
Wow.
I wouldn't want to be thrown into that box.
Not in that group.
Sam.
Number four, if you're broke, you'll have nothing with which to pay your bills.
Mm. Proverbs 22, verse 27 in the Classic Amplified. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? That's what happens when people buy things on credit. It's not ours when we buy it on credit until we pay for it in full.
You know, you started with nothing, and when you had it repossessed, you still had nothing. Use wisdom in what you buy. What do you do when you're broke?
Matthew 11, verse 28 in the Classic Amplified gives us this suggestion or advice, I'd better say in that way. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
What a comforting scripture.
It is.
That scripture, honey, says that we're to come to him, not go to the mall or our BFF, best friend forever, or some temporary diversion that makes us feel better for a moment, but which ultimately only make matters worse. Doesn't it just make good sense to spend time with the one who can solve all of our problems? Not a few, not some, but all our problems. Wow.
Financial or otherwise.
That's it. Who should come to him? Scripture says all who labor. The Greek word for labor is in Strong's Concordance, G2872, and it means weary, tired, and exhausted.
Wow.
Worrying, hear me now, worrying about money can definitely leave you weary, tired, and exhausted. Now, that seems to be a definite pattern for folks whose money runs out before the month does, or those who've been laid off, or those who feel they're so broke they can't even pay attention. But that scripture says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened.
I like the best part of it. It's coming up.
If you're behind on your mortgage or other payments, that's definitely a load on your back and a burden you can't carry by yourself. Read that next part, baby.
The last part says, I will cause you to rest. I will ease you and relieve and refresh your souls. Hallelujah.
Buying something you can't afford with money you don't have won't ease, relieve, or refresh your soul, but God will.
The Lord God.
Amen.
Number five, there is nothing better than enjoying your work. Wow. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24 says, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. We particularly like the Living Bible translation of this verse, Ecclesiastes 2. 24 goes through 26, and it says, so I decided that there was nothing better for a man to do than to enjoy his food and drink and his job. Then I realized that even this pleasure is from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy apart from him? For God gives those who please him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away from him and gives it to those who please him. So here, too, we see an example of foolishly chasing the wind.
This next scripture is amazing, babe.
It is. In Ecclesiastes 5:18, look at this carefully. Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion.
You know, you and your job can become fireproof, layoff proof, or even pink slip proof if you give your job to God and let him take over as the new manager, owner of your talents and skills. With God's help, you can turn your job into a high-paying position.
Mm.
Hallelujah and praise the Lord.
I know a book on that one.
Yep, I do too. Meditate on this saying, little becomes much when God's in it.
Hallelujah.
I don't know who said it, but it's good.
That is very good.
Little becomes much when God's in it. Will Rogers, the humorist, once said, in order to succeed, you must know what you're doing, like what you're doing, and believe in what you're doing.
That's true. Six, you have nothing except what the Lord gives you. Think about that. John 3:27 in the Classic Amplified says, John answered, a man can receive nothing. He can claim nothing. He can take unto himself nothing, except as it has been granted to him from heaven. A man must be content to receive the gift which is given him from heaven. There is no other source.
Everything we are or ever hope to be is from the Lord. Without him, we are nothing and we have nothing.
And what we have from him in Acts, I believe it's 17, it says we live and move and have our being in him.
That's exactly right.
Psalm 89:11. In the Classic Amplified, Psalm 89:11 says, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them.
Understanding that God owns everything, well, it'll clarify our thinking and keep us from making inaccurate and unscriptural assumptions about the things that we own in this life.
Mm.
When we finally get it, that God owns everything, and we own nothing, then it will prevent us from putting the things into our possession into two piles, sacred and secular. The human tendency is to say this belongs to God and this belongs to me, secular. But in reality, everything belongs to God.
According to the Word of God.
Number seven, when you do what's right, nothing will be held back from you.
Mm. Jeremiah 42:4. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you.
Psalm 84:11, King James. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
Hallelujah.
That verse is talking, I believe, honey, we believe, I'm sure, to every person hearing our voice.
That's right.
No matter when you hear, that verse is for you. It's for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Hopefully you got an email from us in the last day with, I think, some, as I said, fresh manna and life-changing revelation. So if you don't get it, it's about Elijah. Just send me an email to Harold@heraldherring.com, and I'll send it to you. Or just call, if you don't do email, call 1-817-222-0011. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.